morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker. Brad, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you, Andrew, and good morning.
Good morning. So a completely drama-free meeting yesterday, as always. Joke. First question for you. All of this business about whether Gene Sullivan will or will not be retained as a member of the zoning board, I just want to know the rule because I didn't know the rule and I knew you would know the rule. If Ray Eddington appoints him, is he the only one who can remove him? Is it a majority board vote to remove him?
It is the majority.
Okay.
Yeah. So when each commissioner has their appointees on to the different various volunteer boards, and they have to be ratified by the group.
Right.
So there's a vote to ratify them, and then if someone wants to remove them, the same thing. It has to. I mean, obviously, the appointee can just change them out and bring the new appointee back to the board. But in this situation, you know, the board could remove them if it's a majority vote of the board.
Got it. Okay. And you said it there. I just want to clarify. If Ray decided that he wanted to remove him, he could do that on his own accord because each commissioner basically controls his delegates, right?
That is correct. Now, the new person they want to appoint would then come back to the board.
Right.
Well. So.
Okay. Perfect.
And that happens typically. You know, a new commissioner comes in and they want to replace and reset. It'll go through that same process.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. And also, there's no supermajority requirement for removing against the objection of a fellow commissioner. It's just a straight 3-vote is enough to do it, right?
Correct.
Okay, because that kind of makes sense to me, too, that it should take 4, you know, because it's against the will of the county commissioner. But, you know, that's a detail for later. I was more just curious what the actual rule was. So have you guys, I don't know, has the county done investigation around this or is it just Commissioner Smith that's looked into this? Where does the kind of the fact report stand?
So we were asked by the Commissioner Smith to look into it, and we pulled the video. Of course, we don't have audio on that
right.
particular set of cameras that come out into that area that they were in. Obviously, you can see some interaction going back and forth, but there's no audio on that. But we were not asked to go interview people or anything like that. I mean, that's really, in my opinion, a commissioner function if that's what they want to do.
Got it. Okay. All right. And also, that's what I figured, but I just wanted to make sure we were there. Big rains overnight into yesterday morning and again last night. Gosh, what? Like, Ryan Jenkins told me it was 10 inches where he was at. You said 7 to 9 in the meeting yesterday. Several roads had been closed, and we got more rain yesterday, which is not great. Where are the roads at right now? What's the flooding like in Santa Rosa County?
So it's primarily in the very north end of the county, and we do have several, you know, we have some small bridges up there with creeks that are very much subject to flash flooding. Probably with the rain last night, we might have one more. I did ride around a little bit last night, and we have one bridge that it is literally to the bottom of the bridge. So, you know, it could very well go over the road, and we'll have to close that, and that's Wagner Bridge on Spring Hill. But we had a couple roads that sustained some substantial damage. It'll take us a couple of days to repair one and probably a couple of weeks for the other one. However, there is, you know, a way around both ends. It's just kind of the middle got washed out. But it was interesting because I think you know that I live in Allentown, and we got 1 inch of rain, and literally 4 miles north of me, they got 9 inches of rain.
Ugh.
So, I mean, that's a substantial difference in a very short period, just the way that storm cell just trained across that northern area of our county.
No, no doubt. It's similar to the way like a tornado just cuts a path right here and then a street over. Nobody felt anything but some strong wind and got some rain. You know, I get it. And this became a part of the conversation over the NOAA Atlas 14 changes that I know the commissioners have taken a kind of a different approach on now. And I appreciate that because, you know, rainfall in one area doesn't necessarily translate to rainfall everywhere. And then as far as flooding goes, and I know we've had this ongoing question about runoff like in Mulat Bayou. Do we know anything? Have we had people out to check on any of that stuff?
Well, the areas that that the heavy rain was in were not those problem areas.
Oh, that makes, of course, that makes sense. Now that I think about it, yeah,
so,
you're
I mean,
right.
It's up in the two basins that this would affect would be the Upper Blackwater River, where cold water comes in, and the Escambia River basin. So.
What I think is a very, very big deal, what I was surprised it was like almost no conversation about it at all yesterday, is that there are three taxing elements, or maybe four. I guess there's four, because there's the MSBU for fire, there was quite a bit of conversation around as the fire chiefs came and talked. But then you have the MSBU for stormwater and two MSTUs, which is a property tax issue, for public safety and for roadway improvements. And I read the ordinances, the public hearing around the ordinances, and it says up to 10 mills for public safety, up to 10 mills for roadway improvements, plus the two MSBUs. So that's 20 mills. I mean, the whole county is just under 6 mills. So what's going on here, Brad? I'm sure I didn't understand this properly, but it seems like a massive amount of latitude being given to the board, but this wouldn't actually set the rates, right?
No, it would not. It is literally just establishing an ordinance. During our budget workshops previously this year and last year, the board had asked for different ways to either improve our transparency or to diversify our revenues. So the first two, the MSTUs, are just that. They're more of a transparency thing. We have one that was established in 2018 that the board has directed us to utilize this year, and that's a law enforcement MSTU. And with everything going on at the state, you know, when they ask us for information for this Florida Doge thing that's going on, they were looking for areas that we have dedicated property tax funding, things such as law enforcement, public safety, et cetera. So this is a way that we can show it on the trim notice so every citizen knows, hey, this much is going to our law enforcement, this much is going to the other public safety. Now, the roadway, that was a new one that come up, and they wanted to have a tool that if they so choose to use it, they could apply that the tax dollars generated to that would have to go to roadway improvement, so that we kind of transparency with the response back from our local option sales tax. Some of the reason why people said they didn't vote on it, we're trying to give the tools out there to answer those questions. So transparency and tools in the toolbox is really what those three are about.
Okay.
The stormwater MSBU one.
Yeah. I just want to re-say it my way and clarify, and just, I want to make sure people know what's going on. First of all, I thought I heard you say that there was already a law enforcement MSTU in place, but it's a zero value at the moment. Is that right?
That is correct. It was established in 2018.
Okay. So you have these different funding pots, like lockboxes, basically, that you're wanting. Either one has created for law enforcement, two are being considered to be created, one for public safety, non-law enforcement, and then the other one for roads. And so there's going to be, and basically you're going to look at the budget, and you're going to figure out, well, how much money do we actually need for law enforcement? How much do we need for public safety? How much do we need for roads? We're going to assign a millage rate to achieve that result, and then funds will go directly into only those categories. And I am assuming, you and I have talked about this before, that there will be an equivalent reduction in overall millage, so that it's not a tax increase, it's just a tax clarification. So people will have these three things, will have a number attached to them, and then the overall millage will be reduced by the same amount. At least that's the plan at the moment. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, the only one that we don't have that plan on is the roadway improvement.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Giving the board a tool that if they want to put more money toward capital, if they're hearing from the citizens that we want road improvements, that's our priority. This is a tool for them to use. But we are basing, you know, obviously we have a budget workshop on June the 23rd, and that's when the board will give us the final direction. But the scenarios we are working with right now is to not do a millage increase unless the board chooses one with the either the law enforcement MSTU, depending on what the sheriff needs are, or the roadway improvement if they want to dedicate more funds to roadway improvements.
Okay, so again,
the plan right now is to come with a balanced budget with no millage increase.
Again, unless there's a need or they believe there's a need to increase it for the roads particularly, or as you say, law enforcement based on what the sheriff has for. So if people want to prevent the county from having the ability to apply these MSTUs, then they want to come and talk on Thursday. If they are fine with having the ability, but they want to discuss the rate being set and whether there should be a property tax increase for roads or not, that would be the June 23rd meeting. Is that right?
That's correct. We have a budget workshop at 1 o'clock. The board will be directing us what to utilize to bring them a balanced budget back in July.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to clarify all that for people because I think a lot of folks didn't even realize there was this on the agenda. They might misunderstand it. It's easy to misunderstand. And also they might care quite a bit about the prospect of an increased tax for, you know, for example, for roads. One other thing that was on the agenda yesterday, a graffiti ordinance. You guys didn't talk much about it in detail. When I read the ordinance, it made it sound to me like it was an effort to try to clean up graffiti by requiring people to clean it up. And if they don't, the county will do it and the county will charge them for cleanup. Is that right?
That is correct. And we have a couple of buildings. We don't have a lot, but we do have a couple that are in key areas of our county that we just don't have the ability. So we were asked to craft an ordinance. The county attorney did that, and it basically, you know, we'll notify them of the violation, give them 30 days to fix it, go through our process. Then we will have the ability to go clean it up and bill them for the cost of the cleanup. If they fail to do that, then we can place a lien on their property. Similar to what we do when we abate a property, if we have to go in and tear down a house, we'll then put the lien on it and the amount of what it cost us to clean up the house.
Okay, so this is basically adding graffiti as a part of the allowable abatement or, you know, forced abatement or whatever that the county can do. Because, look, I know we all have seen houses or old car washes or, you know, whatever, places that get abandoned and then they become graffiti and they become eyesores, and what can you do? And that's what you're trying to do here. Okay, that makes sense. Last thing, and only because it's, again, one of the big discussion points yesterday, I'm sure on Thursday as well, the fire MSBU and then the stormwater MSBU. The fire is specific, $35 a year, $37 a year, something like $3 a month for individuals and then businesses also. What's the stormwater one? What are you looking at there? I know it's only the 10%. What is the stormwater one going to be?
Yeah, so we had been tasked, and this goes back to last year as well, to come up with ways to increase our service and look for alternative funding sources to where it's not a countywide taxing that it affects the area that we're actually providing a benefit to. So this is I call it phase one of the stormwater. You know, I believe Escambia has a countywide stormwater. This would allow us to do increased pond maintenance in those subdivisions that were selected. You know, we get to ponds. We try to get them every 2 or 3 years, but with our staffing level, sometimes that doesn't happen. We end up spending more on, you know, people are calling for problems and all. So this will give us an avenue. We're bidding it out now. We'll take whatever that bid was, divide it by the parcels that affected by that, and then apply it. So if you live in one of those subdivisions, there'll be an increase. And it'll get you pond maintenance done, cutting of the ponds, trash pickup, et cetera, 4 times a year. I believe trash pickup is every month, the way they bid it out. Inspections of the pond on a regular basis, et cetera. So it's increasing the level of service. What we're trying to do is not hire additional people, because when we start hiring people, that's longer recurring costs, drives it up. So we're trying to contract services to see how that would work.
And if people
another tool to,
yeah, I was just going to say, if people want to know where it is, if you go on the Santa Rosa County Commission, you know, you can find the backup material. It actually shows you which subdivisions are included in the preliminary list, both North End and South End. I know you don't have a dollar amount on here, but I assume that that's going to come later, as you said, based on finding out the cost and then dividing it by the number of homes. But that would be an MSBU, which is because it goes to the property value. It can be a per unit instead of a based on property tax, as you've explained in the past. So lots of taxing issues that are on the agenda. And I wanted to make sure people know about this because for some people, this is the first they're hearing of it. And that's why I wanted to just, you know, people may be in agreement. They may be not in agreement, but we want them to know because that's what government requires. Brad Baker, thanks so much, as always, for the time. Lots of stuff to cover today. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Y'all have a good day.